Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Peace and clarity can only come from truth, and God's Word is our only reliable source of truth in today's world. As we bask in the truth of God's Word, we can rejoice and be glad because Jesus has overcome the world system that seeks to bring us down. Please open your Bible to Psalm 97, verse 11, and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his study of this chapter and Psalm 98.
Verse 11, this is for you. If you're in Christ, you're righteous. You're righteous. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Don't you love that verse? Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Light in this context refers to both truth and clarity. I just love to be able to pick up this book after watching something on the news or hearing all of the noise that's in our world today, and then opening this book and go, truth, not opinion, truth, light, and clarity. Clarity. How many of you just want clarity? Well, you're not going to find it on the internet. I'm just giving you an example. I'm not suggesting you do this. Listen to 20 minutes of the left, 20 minutes of the right, and you will think, who is insane? There is absolute truth. It's not on television. It's in here. It's in Christ. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And if God is not the author of confusion, the less time you feed on confusion and the more time you feed on this, the more peace you'll have. And the more peace that I will have, clarity. As we grow in the light of God's truth, even though we see through a glass darkly, the ways of the world and even the struggles within our own hearts, they begin to make sense. I'm not surprised when I see what's happening on planet Earth. I'm not surprised at all. We realize more and more, at least I do, and I'm sure you do too. I realize more and more how dependent I am upon the Lord for His grace, for His mercy, and for His love, for His power. Gladness. Gladness. How many of you could use a little steroid of spiritual gladness tonight? Gladness. The Bible tells us to serve the Lord with gladness, not madness. Serve the Lord with gladness. The psalmist says, you have put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. Lord, you have put gladness in my heart. That's the source of ultimate gladness. Light is sown for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. Paul the Apostle writes to the church in Philippi while he is in prison. He's in prison. He's quarantined for being sold out for Jesus Christ. All right? And he is telling people outside of the prison cells, he tells them, you rejoice in the Lord. And then he says it again, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. What does that tell us? That there is joy to be had in the Lord in spite of uncomfortable or difficult or hard circumstances. Because our joy, it can never be found in anything on this earth. It's all transitory. And here again we find, rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. And Lord, we thank you tonight that you are holy. A holy God. A holy God who reigns. A holy God who is coming back to this earth to establish His kingdom on this earth. A holy God that is going to come to right every wrong. A holy God that is watching over you and watching over me and preserving me. Give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. Psalm 98. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for He has done marvelous things. You know, I read that and I go, boy, that's an understatement. He has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm has gotten him the victory. I remember shortly after I was born again, and then somebody gave me my first old King James Bible, and I read up, and I never read the Bible, and I can recall opening up the Bible, and I can recall, I'm trying to act it out for you, and I just read, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, this is after being many, many years in the twilight zone, mind you. And then finally, reality was put in me. And in the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. And I go, wow. Wow. And so all of the pre-conversion, evolutionary, and all of these other thoughts, you know, how crazy. Go, that's it. That's how it all began. He created the heaven and earth. Wow. So when it says he's done marvelous things, I go, really? Of course he has. He's doing marvelous things tonight. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Now, what does it mean, a new song? Does it mean that, for example, as a musician, Reuben wrote a new song and he's playing for us tonight? Well, that could be, but that's not the context here. That could be a song like the songs we sang tonight. Maybe we've sung them 100 times. You know what it means? To sing unto the Lord a fresh song. Sing it like you've sung it the first time. Remember? You sing some songs for the first time. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul. And then after the worship leader plays it like 5 or 6 times in a month, you go, bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Why don't you play another song? That's a hard problem. There's no such thing as oldies in heaven. You know, there are songs that we're going to see in a minute that we're going to be singing in heaven. You're not going to get up there and say, can we sing another one? Sing unto the Lord a new song. Why? For he has done marvelous things. A new song speaks of a fresh response to the realization of God's love and God's grace for you and me. We are a blessed people, guys. In the midst of all of the chaos and confusion that breaks our heart, not only in our country, but worldwide, we are like that remnant. We are like the children of Israel in Babylon. We're redeemed. We have hope. We know how the book ends. We know that when we breathe our last breath, we're going to be with the Lord. Sing unto him a new song. He's done marvelous things. 6 references in the Psalms to singing a new song. In fact, in Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, and in Revelation chapter 14, verse 3, we find references to the songs that are going to be sung in glory. So I would recommend, write down those 2 references and start learning the chorus. Oh, for the day when we are going to be singing that song together. Can you imagine? That chorus in Revelation chapter 9, that song, we're all going to be singing it together, looking at one another. Oh, you are worthy, O Lord. You redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every tribe and kindred and tongue and nation. Oh, can you imagine what it's going to be like? Tony, Reuben, Mary, Paul, we're going to be up there. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Sing it again. Sing it again. And the 4 beasts and the 24 elders fall down. Let's sing it again. And I can guarantee there's not going to be one person going to say, can we sing another one? It's going to be new. It's going to be fresh. Just like the songs tonight. The songs every time we come. Whether they were written in 1300 or 2000, when we sing them, Lord, make this fresh to me. You don't want to ever give to the Lord stale worship. Fresh worship. One of the reasons why we sing to the Lord is because he has done marvelous things. The word marvelous in the Hebrew can mean miraculous things, extraordinary things. That's what our God does. When we say miraculous or extraordinary, that's just another day in heaven for God. You realize that, right? Consider the marvelous things done by God in creation. He made by a mere word, and out of nothing, the substance of the entire universe. That's pretty marvelous, isn't it? In the beginning, How about the marvelous work of providence? Which means he preserves, he governs, he directs everything. He's in absolute control. He never waits for man to approve or give him approval to do anything. How about the marvelous work of redemption, where he delivers at great cost to himself, you and I who have been imprisoned by sin and misery? He's done marvelous things. Never forget that, beloved. He does marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm, symbols of God's grace and power, have gotten him the victory. Christ has gotten us the victory. When he cried out on the cross, "It is finished." That was a shout of victory. For you and me, the price has been paid. Hallelujah. Our sins are forgiven. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Christ has given us his victory. He won it, not for himself, but for you and me. So we're the victorious group tonight. His right hand and his holy arm has gotten him the victory. You know, I thought how naturally witnessing comes when our hearts are in full appreciation of the marvelous things God has done. God has chosen us to declare his wonders among all people. That shouldn't be too hard. That shouldn't be too hard. The Lord has made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. Paul the apostle wrote in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." The righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel. And sadly, there's the vast majority of people on planet Earth going about trying to build, make their own righteousness with God by good works or by religions. There's only one righteousness that God accepts, and that's the righteousness of his Son, Jesus Christ. And when you place your faith in his death and burial and resurrection, the righteousness of Jesus Christ is then imputed to you, put into your account. The debt before God is canceled. Christ paid for our sins. That is the gospel. God sees you and me tonight as beautifully perfect and righteous in him. And that means the righteousness of God is no longer against us, but for us. We're righteous. He's made known his salvation, his righteousness. He's openly showed in the sight of all the heathen. He has remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. As far as the east is from the west, the salvation of God has been made known. Verse 4. "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise." Now there are times in the Psalms where we are told to be still and to be quiet. But then there's times that we are just told to, well, make a joyful noise. You know what that means? I got out my good old Strong's concordance. It means to cheer. It means to shout. You know what joyful noise means? Loud noise. Now, I realize that on earth, there are different preferences. There are some anti-loud people. They let us know. Do you provide earplugs? And I think, pray tell, what are you going to do when you get to heaven? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. It can mean be cheerful, break forth with happiness, rejoice, give a ringing cry. That's you and I. Expressions of joy. We know what it's like. Come on, guys. We do it in the natural. Have you ever eaten something your wife or your husband's made, and you go, oh, that was so good. Anybody? Yeah, right? Or here it's football season. I've heard some of you guys. I mean, you come sold out for the Bills, sold out for whatever, and you come, you got game face on, right? And you see Facebook. Whoa! And you've got the, you know, the tailgate party and everything. And the video, the guy scored the touchdown. Whoa! This guy that gets paid $89 billion to catch a football, and when he catches it, you cheer for him. Making that much money, he should never drop a football. And there we are tonight, the redeemed of the Lord, heaven bound. And the Lord says, shout, cry out, rejoice. Oh, we have a reason to shout. We have a reason to rejoice. I read in an old commentary, the loudness of the voice, this is back in the days of the reformers, loudness of the voice was regarded as an outward expression indicating an earnestness of heart towards the Lord. You ever just come in here and just, you know, we're kind of quiet. You ever come in and go, just once. You ever? You know, there's times I'm sitting and go, I want you just once. Yes! Praise God! Yes! And they look at you. Ushers. Make a joyful noise. Maybe that means off key. So that certainly would be me. Joyful noise. The only, if your heart is right with the Lord, it doesn't matter what it sounds like to people on the outside. Your heart, when your heart's in tune, that's all that matters. Make that joyful noise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and with the voice of a psalm, with trumpets and the sound of a cornet. Make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King. Now, that's something that you and I can do on our own. I would imagine every one of you probably has that time with the Lord where you're just with him and you're singing and you're, you know, just belting it out to him. Usually for me, it's after my morning devotional time and then I'll go out walking. And it is nice. It is nice. I can get really charismatic out there. And none of you will look at me just walking out with a flashlight. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Then somebody will walk by, good morning. Go, oh, good morning. Notice the words, make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King. Obviously, he doesn't mind because he's telling you to do it. The words, the Lord, the King, mean Jehovah. It marks out distinctly the person to whom our praise is to be directed. It is Jehovah. As the King of all kings, who is the Lord of all lords, who is worthy of praise, that's who we praise. That's who we sing to. That's who we will sing to. And then notice this. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein, let the floods clap their hands. You know, clap, you know what, yeah, that's when you go like this. You know, that's clap, right? Get it? That's, you do this with your hands on beat. Just, that's just a little quick percussionist tutor. That's acceptable in church. You can clap your hands, okay? Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together. Notice before the Lord. Again, that awareness of his presence before the Lord. For he comes to judge the earth, with righteousness shall he judge the world and the people with equity. Now, when the psalmists describe inanimate objects as rejoicing, it's a big theological word that I had to look up, but it is called personification. In other words, it will give to inanimate objects, like, you know, the seas and all of that, human attributes. But notice creation here is now proclaimed as roaring, as clapping, as being joyful when they anticipate thinking of the fact of the time when the Lord will come again. You know, when if you've ever had an opportunity to go to the ocean or some, you know, or I have a brother-in-law that I love dearly, but he's very annoying. He lives in Honolulu. And he likes calling his sister, my wife Elizabeth, at least once a week to let her know just how wonderful it is. He's not very nice. Pray for me. But no, in that regard, he's a great guy. But we've gone there a few times. Just come here, you fly here, you stay here for free. So that's a, you know, somebody has to take advantage of that. So we do a couple times. But you see, you know, you don't see this in Lake Ontario. You see the waves. And when I see the waves, I'm thinking, oh, they're just practicing. They're just practicing for when he comes to set up his kingdom. He's coming to judge the earth. And we know that when he comes, it's going to be a cruel day with wrath and fierce anger. But it's going to accomplish great good, because God is going to judge sin and establish his justice. And creation rejoices at the coming of the Lord, because when he comes to establish his kingdom, the curse that began in the book of Genesis is going to be lifted. Romans 8 tells us in chapter 8, this isn't going to be on the screen, I injected this tonight. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. And it says we groan. Are you groaning tonight somewhat? Yeah, I'm groaning. You're groaning. Every time we groan, every time we say, when is this going to be over? How long is this going to last? You know what that's saying? Come quickly, Lord Jesus. There's going to be a time when all of creation is going to stop groaning when he comes and sets up his kingdom. And he's going to do that soon and very soon. Father, we thank you for these beautiful psalms tonight. You do reign. You do rejoice. And I pray you would help us to remember that, especially when things do not look like you are in control, when things are out of control. Lord, you have sown light for your people here tonight and your people watching online. You have sown gladness for those who are upright in heart. And we thank you for that, that we can have light, we can have gladness tonight, and that we can rejoice in you and in the power of your might. And so now help us, Father, by the power of your Spirit, to sing a new song to you for the marvelous things that you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless
his holy, his wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Have you ever felt God's tug on your heart to participate in a foreign mission, but didn't know where to start? Pastor Ray would like to invite you to learn more about the work he is doing in India. IndiaConnection.org is a small but growing missionary organization that is made up of over 100 Christian fellowships spread across India. In the face of poverty and persecution, our pastors proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. By the grace of God, people are hearing the good news and getting saved every day. Here in Rochester, India Connection gives everybody a chance to help equip and edify God's church in India. Our volunteers help build churches in villages that have never had one before, heal the sick on a medical missions trip, teach young men and women how to be effective teachers of the Word, and care for abandoned and at-risk children at the Girls' Home of Pune. A good place to start is to come to one of our meetings, the third Thursday of every month at 7 p.m. at Koinonia Fellowship in East Rochester. Our next meeting is May 18th. Hope to see you there.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.